Welcome to the Married at First Sight, or HAPA. I am one of your co-hosts, Jason Reed, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Asia Welch. Asia, I know I told you to bring your podcast microphone, wear something nice, bring your headphones. I told you we'd have like a meeting about the show, but I have a secret to tell you. We're actually doing the podcast right now.
Oh my God. I'm speechless. I wasn't prepared for this.
I hope you would do me the honor, even though I sprung this on you just now, of doing the podcast with me.
I don't know. I don't know. Let's end the episode and stay tuned next week for my answer.
We'll see when Asia returns to the podcast.
Oh, how did I know they were going to end that with a cliffhanger? I was like,
I went to the episode knowing that's where we're going to end off the episode.
With the way that he was behaving at the altar, or no, the way he was behaving, just getting ready for the wedding, I thought we potentially would leave off at her walking down the aisle and there being some type of reaction.
Well, yeah, I mean, because in the previews, they have shown him like saying, well, she's not really a type I imagined.
Yes.
I think you wouldn't be blamed for thinking that's where we were going to leave off as well.
Yeah. Right. And if for those of y'all that are confused, we are talking about Mitch and Kristen. But we'll dive into them later.
Both hot messes.
Yeah. Did you enjoy this episode?
It was fine. It was a Mavs wedding episode. The Mavs wedding episodes, on the most part, are like kind of they're just there. Mm-hmm. They're mostly the same stuff we've heard over and over again about the people talking. And we had a couple standout moments in this episode, so it was a good episode. It wasn't fantastic, but it was good.
I agree. I mean, I was able to watch it, knock it out. It was just, it would have been nice to get three weddings.
Yeah, we're moving faster than normal. But then I checked my notes for last season. I was like, no, we're pretty much on par.
On par, yeah. They have a script and they're sticking to it.
Yeah. I foolishly thought like, oh, maybe because they showed all of the people talking on the wedding day last episode, like the morning of the wedding, they showed every single talking head. I was like, are we skipping like all of the tux and dress fittings?
I thought of you when I saw that.
I was like, are we skipping them? And then when who was the first person to get their dress, I forget who, but I was like, no, we're doing all of them still. At least we knocked them all out this episode. So
yeah, I mean, They have to show us that, but yet I continue to get nothing from that.
Nothing at all.
It's just like, whatever. Maths is going to maths. And, they just have to, fill out the 2 hours.
Yeah. They got to give us something, I guess, to fill their 20 episode quota, per season. But we're talking about season 15. But folks, we've got some hot, season 14 tea for you all today. Now, if you're connected to the Mavs world, you've probably already heard this news already because it broke like the day after we recorded the last episode.
Yes.
So it's just like I saw the news like, oh, we just finished this like recording yesterday. So the news is if you're connected, the news is a little stale. But for those of you not in the Mavs know, Steve and Noy from last season have revealed that they are getting divorced, and it was revealed with a lot of drama attached. Asia, you want to like kind of run us down of what happened here, how this was revealed to us?
Right. So obviously there's been speculation. Steve went on a family trip. Noy was nowhere to be found. So people are like, wait a second, that's odd. But hey, rumor mill, people are going to assume things. Well, Noy decides to post a picture of herself and says, divorce. What does she say? I have to get the exact quote.
She said, divorce feels good.
Feels good.
Yeah, she's on a beach on a surfboard in the water. Mm-hmm. It says, divorce feels good. That's all she posted.
She's smiling. That's it.
kick this off.
Currently, the comments are off, but the comments were not off, I don't believe, at the time of her posting this. And then comes a post from Steve, which is one of those, it gives me season 12 Ryan, multi-page note.
5 pages.
Yes, where he describes that he did not expect her to reveal that they had gotten divorced. They had talked about waiting until the end of July to expose it. And he is basically just saying, you know, they didn't work out. They weren't going to work out, and it became unhealthy for the both of them. I would highly suggest going to read it yourself. It's The Real Steve Moy on Instagram. And the caption was a broken heart.
Yeah, I mean, it's entirely too long for us to read it to you guys. Like Steve, like maybe bring this down like 5 paragraphs. Like you would have fit all that in one slide, Steve.
Right. I wish I had like a too long didn't read version for you, but I don't. I mean,
you kind of did. You kind of summed it up pretty well.
Kind of. Okay.
But now, I mean, Noy starts this out with a like flippant post of like, divorce feels good. And here she's sitting on a surfboard. Like,
yeah.
And it, you know, as a divorce announcement, I don't think that's really like appropriate. So Steve, being Steve, the more mature like person in a relationship, decides like he's going to take the high road. He's going to speak nothing but positives. He's not going to really place blame.
Yeah, he literally at one point during the message says, Noy, I'll always love you. I so wish we were a better fit. I wish we could meet each other's needs without feeling like we have to compromise ourselves. Like so that the post is not even the end of it. Noy not only turns her comments off on her post, but is all up in the comments of Steve defending herself, saying that Steve was the one to ask for the divorce. He's not the husband y'all see on TV, blah, blah, blah. And so she's trying to like say her side of things. But I'm like, Noy, take your comments off and you can defend yourself there or turn them back on.
It was so, so messy. Like it seemed like she got really like pissed that he decided to like take the high road.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, no, I'm going to drag you down to the mud with me. I want to provoke you into like discoursing with me this way on social media. But Steve, being Steve, did not take the bait.
No.
He once again posted again, you know, a little kind of defending himself a little bit, but was still like pretty mature and professional about it.
Yeah. And then even yesterday or earlier this week, he posted on his stories. It was like, guys, please treat Noy with kindness. Like, she doesn't deserve everything that y'all like is coming her way. It's just like continuing to be the bigger person in this situation. And I'm sure Noy is just furious about it.
Yeah, Noy, I'm sure, is so mad he's not trading barbs back with her. It just seems like she wants to fight. And
oh, yeah.
You know,
it's making her more upset.
Yeah.
And Eric. From Virginia and Eric from season 12, because 13 was Houston, 14 Boston. Yes, season 12. Eric says, sorry to hear. This is on Steve's post. He says, sorry to hear. It's tough, brother, especially in a public setting. Wish you all the best and stay strong.
Let me ask for your comment, Eric. Get out of here. Nobody wants to hear from you, Eric.
I forgot about Eric. But
there was some distressing news in Noy's post. Apparently, Little Sushi is sick with cancer.
Yes, and she had not like you would think the news itself is sad, which it is. But she said she used it as leverage to say that Steve has not reached out once to check on Sushi. So Steve defended himself in his stories and said, I reached out and I've checked on Sushi. He's like, I can't believe I have to say this, but I cared about Sushi.
He said, I brought Sushi refrigerated food to help with his cancer. To help my brother's dog with his cancer. I delivered it even though we weren't speaking. So don't sit here and drag your sick dog into our divorce, Noy. So it's a mess, y'all. And officially that makes Elijah Wan and Katina last couple standing of the season. So they get the last couple standing award. It's an award we pass out every year for the last couple remaining. some seasons it's over at the decision day because one couple standing, but this year the honor goes to Olajuwon and Katina for season 14. Who would have thunk it?
Who would have? Fingers crossed to them, and wishing all the best to Sushi. I hope he feels better, and I hope that they're able to clear him of the cancer. But Noi, come on, girl. Come on. But before we dive into the episode, I do want to highlight our feed. So subscribe to our feed at Love at First Sight feed. You can find that at robhasawebsite.com/firstsightfeed. You can find all of our podcasts there. We did get a review that I want to highlight. The subject is My Favorite Recapped from Honey Bump. They said, I love the show, especially when Jason does the voices. The Lindsay voice is gold.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. I swear. I really miss doing Lindsay. And we don't have anyone like Lindsay here, so I really miss it. Thank you so much, Honey Bump.
Right. I crack up laughing every time. I found your podcast due to the ultimatum recap and was ecstatic to find out you all covered maths. I listened to others, but you all have taken the top spot because you're unbiased and neither of you are afraid to change your thoughts from week to week. I went back and listened to all season 14 episodes. Can't wait to hear you all in this new season that is destined to be a train wreck.
Yeah, I had to dust off Lindsay voice. I hadn't done it in a while. I don't know how good it was.
Your throat hurts.
Yeah, excuse me. But I don't feel like we have anybody that I can really do a voice for this season.
No, maybe Alexis?
I'm not going to
do Alexis. No.
that might turn into something different. But mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no regional accent, really. I was hoping we'd have like a surfer bro that I could do, but not really. we might have to take a break from the voices this season. Hopefully, where are we at next season? Nashville,
yes.
So hopefully there'll be some country twang. Hopefully it'll be a country twang. I can put on my voice and I can make it out of Nashville, something like that. I gotta work on it.
Basically, like the if anybody's watching the current season of Big Brother, like the diary room voice of Jasmine.
Oh my gosh. I'm convinced that voice is fake.
Absolutely fake. I've been watching feeds for a whole week. That is not her voice.
Anyway, we'll talk into a whole kerfuffle.
We literally could talk 30 minutes about that. Yeah. But let's talk about episode 2.
Yeah, let's do it. So we're going to go ahead and get Morgan and Ben out of the way. Because not much. I mean, they had an eventful episode, but not much happened. So we kind of get introduced to them a little bit. For each couple this episode, again, we got kind of a reasoning of why they were matched. I like to take note of these because, I need to get it in my head about why the experts say that they've matched these people in the first place. So Pepper comes on and says they are matched because they're both career-oriented individuals who value education as well as fitness and both desire a family dynamic. And his tender side can create a balance with her tough exterior. So basically, she's going to bully him around. So we get to the dress and tux shopping. In a confessional, Morgan says everything changes now, and she will now have to rearrange her life to revolve around two people instead of just her. But if he is the right man for her, he won't stop her from being herself.
So she's basically saying she doesn't want to change.
No, she's not going to change. He needs to mold himself to her. I guess she's like, instead of making a meal for one, I now maybe have to make a meal for two. Yeah. But then she's like, but anything other than that, I'm going to keep myself.
Yeah, she did not seem. She didn't seem like she wants someone. It kind of sounds like she just wants someone who can fit into what she's currently doing. Right. And that is always a recipe for disaster.
Exactly.
So I really hope once she meets him, things go differently.
Hopefully. So he's with his buddies at the tux fitting. And the buddies ask, so how does your mom feel about all this? He said, well, mom's excited. And, she can't wait to meet the new wife. But it is important to get her approval since, throughout all of his things throughout the years, she's always had his back. So it's important that mom approves. The friends ask, so what are like the turnoffs? What are you hoping not to get? He says, I hope I don't get someone lazy. I hope I get someone ambitious. And the friend goes, so basically you're talking about your mom. And so Ben's like, well, you know, I wouldn't mind if someone had a personality. Now,
I was like, Jason's going to love this.
Listen, you are convinced that he's not going to be as much of a mama's boy as for his sake and Morgan's sake, I hope that he's really just taking this mama's boy narrative that the producers have given him and are running with it or is making it a joke. But he talks a lot about his mama.
He's leaning into it. Come on. I feel like we're not going to hear another word about his mom after the honeymoon.
You want to put a bet on that?
Yeah. Right.
Well, I think it's going to be a plot point for their relationship.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like, because wasn't it a big thing with like Lindsay and her dad, like their dynamic at their wedding? And then we never heard from her dad again. That she was like a daddy's girl, but I definitely thought we were going to see more of their relationship.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a plot point in the beginning of their story that was like, I love my dad. My dad's my best friend. I'm going to talk to him all the time. So it wasn't we loved her dad. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, I just feel like they're making this such a plot point. I think it's going to be an issue throughout their story here.
So you think it's going to be a thing where like Morgan's like, I can never be your mom. Stop trying to make me like your mom.
Yeah. He's going to be like, my mom cuts my sandwiches this way. Can you do that?
Oh my God.
Not your mom, Ben.
No.
I think in the clip where she's like, you lied to me. And what we've seen in the previews, I think it's going to be because he told her he wouldn't see her mom anymore. And he went to go see his mom. You went and saw your mother, didn't you? You told me you weren't going to go see her again. And you saw her, didn't you?
I hope not. I feel like he's leaning into the joke. I could be wrong, obviously. But I really just hope that he just has this admiration for his mom. They're close. And it's just going to show how much respect he will have for Morgan once they're married.
Oh, I know that you're hopeful, but we'll see. We're with Morgan again, dress fitting, and she's trying on dresses, and she says she wants him to be super impressed when he sees her, wants to have an OMG moment. So as she goes and tries on another dress, while she's gone, her friend and her mother talk about what if this guy that she's paired with doesn't like a girl that plays video games and boxes? As if this is like such a wild characteristic for someone that plays video games and boxes. How could a man ever like a girl that plays video games? Oh no.
The producer's like, talk about it, keep it going.
Like, this is bizarre. Like, you've never seen this before. A girl with a controller in her hand? Ew, disgusting. That's so weird.
Yeah, it's like it shouldn't be a thing. That shouldn't even had to be used or discussed. Yeah. No one cares. If anything, I feel like a guy would like that. Yeah.
It would be a plus.
Yeah.
So the mom says, well, I mean, if they've matched them up like they should have, you know, it may not be perfect, but he will love her for all her parts and pieces. The friend's like, I hope he can handle getting beat up by a girl.
This elementary school.
Yeah. So Morgan comes out in the dress, and we get the say yes to the dress moment, where she's happy she's found her dress. Yahoo. She stands there, she has the veil on. She says she never thought this moment would come, as she's never had good luck with men. It's either that the guy wasn't ready, but she wanted to, or the guy was ready and he just wasn't a good fit. So she says she's finally happy that it's her marriage wish is coming true. And she says it starts to hit her a little bit. She freaks out a little, says, as much as she's wanted marriage, she just didn't think it would happen. This is just surreal. So that we go back to Ben. He comes out in his nice white tux. That tux was looking pretty good on him. I did like
the tux. I'm telling you, he's a looker.
Yeah, he says, yeah, I mean, we know that you're smitten, Asia. He's your guy this season. He says this tux will give her a good indication of who he is. I'm not really sure what that means.
He said he wanted a tux that was elegant, classy, flirty, and swaggy.
Oh my gosh. And he says that, you know, he feels like that financially, spiritually, and emotionally, he feels like he's ready for this. And he's pretty anxious and excited. He says, you know, this girl is going to be the one for me. Well, you know, the one, you know, except for my mom. She's also the one. Okay. Got my side eye going.
You know, I feel like that was the punchline of that joke.
Was it funny, though?
To him.
Or was it sad?
They have a great relationship. It's okay. It's admirable.
Maybe too great. We'll see. I'm also kind of surprised that we haven't seen her with him. Maybe she lives like not in San Diego. Maybe that's
probably.
We have a lot of transplants this season to San Diego, so maybe that's the thing. Maybe she doesn't live in San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, like, and maybe it's we won't see her until the wedding because, yeah. Like, he did say it's very important to have his mom's approval, and then. Like for Nate, we saw his dad, but we saw him at the wedding.
At the wedding, yeah. I'm excited to see the dynamic in person with Ben and his mom. See what that's about. So then we get the big moment, right? We get Morgan saying that, you know, Dr. Pepper called me last minute, says she wants to get on a Zoom call. Now, for our listeners out there that also watch Survivor with us, I would make this akin to like Jeff walking up on the island.
Yes.
Like in the middle of camp, like, oh crap, here comes Jeff. What's going on? Something's wrong. Somebody's getting pulled from the game.
Because Morgan is like, we have nothing to discuss. But yeah, that's the exact comparison you can make. Yeah.
Why is Dr. Pepper calling me? This can't be good. So Pepper tells that, you know, unfortunately, we have to postpone your wedding because your husband got COVID. And we want to make sure that everyone's safe. And, you know, we don't want anybody else catching COVID from your husband. And then Dr. Pepper mentions that you will get a honeymoon, but it will be short.
Yeah, I'm like, I guess they are going with like the CDC guidelines of like 5 days, because I was like, there's no way they could allow like 2 weeks to pass because those couples will be back from this honeymoon. So they're probably just trying to just wait until he tests negative. And then as soon as that happens, wedding's back on.
Yeah. I mean, do you think like they're just going to join the other couples on the honeymoon like just a few days late?
Yeah,
that's probably what it'll be.
Yeah.
So then we get a confessional from Morgan that's like, well, you know, I'm frustrated and concerned. You know, I really hope he's okay. But then she says, you know, I really just hope he didn't get cold feet and he's lying about getting COVID. Like, what?
Ryan was like, where did this like cynical thought come from?
Who in the world would do that? Like, what's next? He's going to fake his death from COVID? Like, how would he get out of it by lying about COVID? Like, oh, I got COVID. Guess I can't get married ever.
That would be
the wedding. He's like, oh, crap. I didn't think about that.
Right. That would be a huge issue. And I would think, like, from her perspective, I would think I can trust the show enough that they've seen a positive test. They're not going to just aid in his just him saying, oh, by the way, y'all, I got COVID.
Yeah, I would think the show is testing them, and one of their tests, they found out he was positive.
Now, they're not going like, to help him deceive her.
Right, now that he shows up, like, you know what, y'all, I got the sniffles, I think I probably got COVID, got a scratchy throat, you know, we just call off the wedding, and we're all good. They're like, no, we'll just postpone it. Oh, crap. But yeah,
I was totally thrown off by her saying that.
That was a weird conclusion to jump to. So like, I don't, that threw me off a lot. I was like, what the heck?
How about that shot they kept cutting to though, when she was on Zoom with Dr. Pepper and then they were cutting to a camera on her that looked like it had this like
iPhone 5 camera.
Like an I was going to say like the, not a Snapchat filter, maybe a Snapchat filter, any type of filter where it adds a blur.
It was just like a 2007 3 megapixel camera. Like,
someone pulled their Motorola Razr out and said, hey, those didn't have cameras. It's like that. Maybe they did. They might have. Okay. They pulled their Motorola Razr out and said, we got to get this shot from the front. I don't care what the quality is. And we have to include it in the final edit.
That was sad. That was a sad shot.
It's like, what is this?
Yeah, it was, you know, she didn't seem that surprised. That was weird to me. Like, did you feel that? Like, maybe she had been told before and then, like, I don't know, they staged this for Dr. Pepper and Chocolate. She didn't seem like shocked or like, I would have been like, what?
No, I think she's just not that expressive. She doesn't strike me as like someone who's going to like give like an Alexis type of reaction.
Oh my God. Alexis would have been like up out of her seat, running around. Right. Like, yeah!
I feel like she was just taken aback and kind of taking it in.
Oh, maybe she's a little cold, you think?
No. Here you go, having some thoughts. Well, she was.
I'm just saying, just kind of emotionless. I mean, I don't want
to
be.
Sometimes it takes people time to digest information.
True, very true.
So.
All right. So, I mean, that's pretty much Morgan and Ben. I mean, if we're going to do ranking or ratings, I'm going to give it a 3 because I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, I'm going to maintain my 3 as well. I think we didn't get anything to give an indication. I did like that before she had the thought that he had cold feet. She, you know, like you said, she was concerned about him. So that just shows me that, like, okay, she is seeing him as her husband. And she knows, like, she should care for him no matter who it is.
But 2 seconds after she said that, she's like, what if he's lying? But what he's lying though.
It, you know, you cannot let this Married at First Sight editing get you down. She probably said that 30 minutes after. So yes, we'll go with a 3. So this is on a rating of 1 to 5, 1 being we think they're gonna get divorced on decision day, 5 being they're definitely staying married. So middle of the road.
Yeah. All right. Asia, where are we going to next?
So we are going to take this journey with Sasha and Nate. So, like you said, we got their tux and wedding dress shopping out of the way last episode. So we skipped all that. We're at the wedding day. Sasha is ready to be a whole wife. Okay. She is she talks about like her successes and how like she achieved those because she was so focused on them. Like, she has 2 degrees, she started her own business, and so like she feels like this is the next piece in her life. And then we cut to him preparing for the wedding, and he's very nervous. And I will say, because I know I got on his hair last week, I liked it like this from the front.
The little rat tail on the back.
Don't turn around, Nate. Just face straight. And because it gives you an image of what it would look like if you had a haircut.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree. Like, looking at it from head on, it's like, okay, that's cool. Yeah. Then he turns his head. It's like, what is that in the back? What is he doing?
Yeah, he had these cornrows, and then they hung in the back. There's only like 3 or 4 of them.
That's an antennas in the back there. I don't know what's going on there.
Right. And so then he has his friend came over to like prepare for the wedding. And his friend is like, look, you could have gone either way. I'm glad you went the way that you ended up going. There was a fork in the road and you chose wisely. And then we got that little bit from Dr. Pepper, just like, Nate's fun side will be a good balance for her serious side. It's all about balance.
Yeah, we gotta balance these couples out with opposing like characteristics.
Right? Yeah, her love for cats will be a great addition to his love for dogs.
Or her love for cats will go great with his cat allergies.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So we get to the point where she's getting her makeup done. Her mom is very nervous because Sasha is generally pretty particular with her men. And her mom was like, look, just make sure you get to know him. And Sasha was like, well, really what's really important to me right now is I need to know what he thinks a wife is, because we could have different definitions of that. And I thought of Olajuwon and Katina. And I was like, if Katina had this thought, they could have nipped a lot of that stuff in the bud early. Yep. Because true. She would have understood. I think a wife should cook for you, clean for you, and that's what she needs to do. And then she could have understood, oh, but that's not the wife that I'm going to be. Let's meet in the middle.
Right. But I mean, if she had an Elijah one, he wouldn't want to meet in the middle. He would just be like, right. I mean, early days Elijah one.
Because he said he was a boy when he met her, and now he's a man.
Over this 2 month process, he's grown up so much. Right. I do also want to point out that Stasha's mother's name is Stacy. Quite a flex. Yeah. Stacy, like, name your kid, like, just a variation of your name.
Right. Well, my middle name is a variation of my parents' names, but.
What's your middle name?
It's, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's my baby. I'm going to name her Stasha.
Stacy Jr.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Nate, and Nate feels like he's ready to take this leap of faith because he's evolved enough in his life. And he just hopes that she's really understanding of, he says, of his past. But I'm hoping it just means, like, my journey to get to where I am, and not like, oh, I have a, like, Olajuwon, I have an Isaac in my past.
Yeah, what does this past mean? Like, have you been, you have a rap sheet? Have you been locked up? Like, I hope you know the fact that I served 3 years in the penitentiary. Right. But I mean, do you just as a philosophy, as a person, do you think that you can look at yourself and say, I have evolved? Or is that something that kind of, I don't know, needs to be told to you? Like, can you look at yourself and be like, you know what, I'm ready for this, I've evolved? Or are you just, like, fooling yourself?
True. Like, are you saying it so you believe it?
Like, have your, like, friends, who are you, and family, trying to convince? Yeah, have your friends and family seen this change in you? Or are you just trying to convince yourself?
That's a good point. Cause his friend said he, you know, he's glad the direction he chose. So that's like a version of evolving from who he used to be or where he was headed.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Whenever anyone talks about evolving, all I see is Pokemon. So maybe he's he's evolved to his next stage.
Right. This husband stage.
He's a Nate Mander now instead of a Chara Nate.
Like Nate to chew.
Yeah.
So that we cut to the gift giving, which I know in seasons past we've talked about, like, how they've cut that out, but they included a season, but mainly for one reason. So they get each other the same gift. They find out that they each gave each other a Polaroid camera to, like, capture memories together.
Can I talk about how much of a scam? Can I talk about how much of a scam these gifts are?
Wait, really?
Did you watch the after party this week?
Yes.
I feel like they're incepting these gift ideas to people, because, like, not only did Stasha and Nate get each other similar gifts, but was it Lindy and Miguel got each other similar gifts to deal with traveling? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like producers are, like, incepting them, like, you know what would be a great gift idea? Polaroid camera. Like, they give them, like, options, and then they're like, Polaroid camera. And they say Polaroid camera like 1,000 times. So like, you know what? I think I'm going to get her a Polaroid camera. You know, I'm going to give them a Polaroid camera.
They're, like, in their audition for Married at First Sight, and then they leave to go to the restroom, and then the producer goes to their phone, Polaroid camera, Polaroid camera. All their ads. The
algorithm gives it to them.
Yes.
Or, like, is that a question? Is it a question on the questionnaire? Like, which of these would you give to your prospective wife?
That's true. Because there's, like, how do you pick a gift when you don't know anything about that person, you know?
Right.
Just like, that's a crazy coincidence.
Yeah, because they gave each other Polaroid cameras. Lindy and Miguel, I think she gave him a passport holder, and he gave her this picture of the world or something.
Yeah.
And I think I forgot who else had, like, similar gifts.
Well, let's not sleep on the gifts, or let's not only, you know, focus on the gifts. We had a big thing that Stasha received next. She got a ring, but not just any ring.
Was this by chance a James Allen ring that you can customize yourself online? Mm-hmm. Where there are a variety of colors, cuts, and styles? Is that type of ring that it is? Because if so, that is a quality ring. JamesAllen.com is a quality website to get you a quality ring.
Oh my goodness. I really want to know how much James Allen is paying, because we all know the name now.
Yeah. James Allen is in my head. Like, I'm surprised I haven't gotten a James Allen ad on my phone.
Right? Oh my gosh. And she, so then Sasha had has a moment with her mom, and her mom is just like, you know, this is what every parent just wants their child to be happy. So, you know, she's just very happy for her. Then we cut to Nate, and Nate is like outside. He's like meeting up with his dad. He's about to walk in to the ceremony. His dad says he won't do tears. He's not going to cry.
His dad says, I'm a tough guy. I don't cry.
Yeah.
And I just picture like Justin sitting at home watching this episode like, hey.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Tough guys cry too. Right. I'm a tough guy. I cry.
Yeah. So Sasha is having a little freak out moment. She is, she's like, why didn't anybody talk to me? Just talk me out of this. She's just like by herself, just breathing hard, is questioning every decision she's made up to this point. And was there any moment of this that you thought she would just get cold feet?
No. I don't think Murder at First Sight will allow cold feet. I think if you're getting had to get held at gunpoint, you're going down that aisle.
I want to see it. One season, I want to see someone just say, forget the money, forget everything. I'm not doing this.
Sue me for that $50,000. I don't care. Yeah, I think that
money's
that would be,
no object.
That would be so interesting to see that. That's like something on the mass bucket list that needs to be checked off right. Before the series ends.
Maybe season 20.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Don't wish that on us.
So Nate is now at the altar. He says he's nuts. He says it a couple times. And Sasha pointed out before she walks down the aisle, she's like, you know, I didn't think I'd get married. I always hoped that I would, but I didn't think I would. So this is like a dream come true for her. You could just, I mean, you really can see how happy she is right now. So she walks down, her mom walks her down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, her mom walks her down the aisle, and once she gets to there smiling, and once she gets to the aisle, well, what she pointed out on the after party was that she was looking down 60% of the time walking down.
Yeah, I could see she was looking everywhere but up at him.
Yeah.
Like she's looking to the side, she's looking down.
She said, I'm not ready to see him.
but as she's walking down the aisle, Nate is like at the altar, like, basically like just like, yes, like here we go, yes, that's what I'm talking about. It's like everything's gonna be fine, like she is beautiful, like he likes what he sees, obviously.
He is pleased. He tells her she's beautiful. She says he's very handsome. And then she tells him, let's take a deep breath, we got this. So now they're in this moment together, you know. And so they do the officiant does the whole spiel with the family thing. So Nate's family wants her to know that there's never a dull moment with him. He's spontaneous, loves adventure. He really likes sunsets. And he points out that, yeah, sunsets, those are my thing.
He's like, I never miss one. Never miss a sunset. That's my thing.
Yes.
Okay, Nate.
Oh, and then they say he's a freak in the sheets. Why did this need to be included by a family?
It didn't. Now, to his credit, he looks at them like, why'd y'all do that? Like, at least he was like, yeah, girl, you know. Like,
right.
He didn't seem to be like perturbed that they did.
He was
that.
Like, wait a second, why did y'all include? Yeah. They said he's a deep thinker and he's a Devo. And even she questioned, like, Devo. Mm-hmm. And just the male version of Diva, because he cares about his straight teeth and his outfits.
Now, I think you skipped one of the more interesting parts of the friends and family, where they talk about he loves to talk about aliens and the Mandela effect.
Oh, yeah. True.
And at that point I was like, is Nate a flat earther? Like, so I feel like most of those people might be like, have that conspiracy theory thought.
Yeah, he's like, I can get weird. And she's like, I can get weird too, it's okay. Yeah, that's true. We're gonna have to keep tabs on what Nate believes.
Yeah.
Sasha's family wants him to know that she's the definition of an independent woman. They break down like her credentials, 2 degrees, everything. And he gives her a fist bump, which is like, yes, not, oh my gosh, I'm intimidated by you. But it's like a, look, I'm proud. I'm proud that I am married to you and you are successful. Then we find out that Sasha sleeps with her eyes open.
Nah, man, I'm out. I'm out with that. Cannot do it.
That's a deal breaker.
That's a deal breaker. That's weird. That's creepy. Okay. And he's even up there. He's like, nah, that's a wrap. Like, it's over. Like, I'd have been serious. He was joking. I'd been like, nope, let's call it off.
He like walks down the aisle, takes off. Can't do it.
I'd be like, listen, are you committed to wearing like one of those eye masks to go to sleep? Because I cannot turn over and look at you staring at me while you're asleep. Can't do it.
And it's not even, I mean, because like I know people, like I have friends where it's subtle, like, you know, they're asleep, but their eyes are open, like squinted. It's not full blown, I'm looking at you, but hers is looking at you, because she said on the after party, her sister was the one who told her, because she had a full blown conversation with her until she realized she was asleep.
Nope. Can't do it. That'd been a no for me.
So yeah, there's that. We'll see if that makes an appearance. You know, Nate, in the middle of the night, Nate like has his iPhone. He's like, look at my wife.
And she's just like,
and she's staring with
the eyes wide open, like, right. He like moves her mouth, he's like, hi, honey. You're right. Weird. Right.
So then we get to the vows. Sasha says, you know, she vows to be a dance partner, honor him, cherish him. Nothing, you know, nothing too out there. It's pretty straightforward. Nate's vows are he's going to be her rock. He's going to be faithful to her, protect her, and be her best friend to the very end. So very straightforward vows.
Nothing extravagant.
Right. They say I do. And when he puts the ring on her finger, he says he likes her nails. So I like that he saw that detail.
Okay. Feels like,
what was that face?
I don't know. Feels like they're going to like go to the nail salon together, get pedicures. He seems like a guy that's a really,
dream.
Is it? Okay. It just seems like he's a guy that, and this isn't a bad thing. He's probably just like a guy that's really like stringent about how he looks too. So I think it's mm-hmm. not a bad thing. So yeah,
exactly. He kisses her. And they kiss. They walk down the aisle. He says, Stasha Barnes. And she's like, ooh, okay, Barnes. And they're just very happy. They look great together.
They do. They look like a power couple, we've been told several times that they will be a power couple.
Right. So then we get to the point of the like champagne time, little after ceremony, pre-picture situation. He helps her carry her dress up the stairs. And he tells us she is the ideal woman. She's tall, thin, beautiful, nice long hair. She has good teeth.
Yeah, I mean, he's he's made it no secret that he likes what he's got here.
Right. I was like, where's a successful, smart?
No, he don't care about that. Like, right. That's not what he saw when she first turned that corner. Right. He didn't even seem to like flinch when he's like, I don't even care if she works at like McDonald's part time. That's her only job. That's my wife right there.
Right. And so during the ceremony, her family did tell him that she's like a real estate investor. So he asked her about the real estate properties, and he told her that he day trades and he's in software sales, and his schedule is usually 5:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. and he works at home.
I think software sales is like right up there with like firefighter as like top maths jobs. Like, oh, yeah. Everyone is a software sales. Like, what? I still have yet to find out what software sales is.
Like, what? Yeah, it's so broad that anyone, like, not anyone, but a lot of people can say it.
Yeah.
I'm like, what software are you selling? Are you truly selling?
For are one? You selling Windows 10 out of your trunk? Like, what are you doing? And are you a successful day trader is the question I'd be asking, because anyone can be a day trader.
Anyone, yes.
But not anyone can be a good day trader.
Right. Yeah, like if you're a successful day trader, then you most likely wouldn't need a day job.
Right.
But
so
we'll I don't know.
And he did he pulled like an Elijah one. Because Elijah one also was like, so do you find me attractive? Like,
oh yeah.
Like he,
and I was like, she already said at the altar you were very handsome.
Right. He's like, so you find me attractive? She's like, yeah. I do. He's like, oh yeah, yeah, you're attractive too. Like, okay. He
wants to hear it.
Yeah, he wants it known and told.
But look, that could very well just be his love language. Words of affirmation.
Hey, it's worked for Elijah Water Katina.
Right. So she also works from home. So they're talking about how, okay, that's going to be interesting because we both work from home. He's like, we just be on two separate sides of the room. And she asked about like, okay, his cleaning habits. She's like, I'm extremely clean. And he's like, well, like I have some bad habits. And she's like, well, my house looks like a model home. My family jokes that like, I don't live there. And he's there like laughing together. And he's like, oh, you're nuts.
Well, we're going to pull a crossover to 90 Day Fiance and put her with Bilal.
Oh my gosh.
Nah, we're not going to wish it. We're not going to wish that on anybody.
Bilal does not deserve her.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed here because we did not get the post-nup question. She was all big and bad. Talk about no. When I get out to the aisle, I'm gonna talk about the post-nup. Like I was expecting her to go into her dress and like just pull out this big like envelope. Be like, hey, you need to sign this. But no, she didn't even like bring it up at all.
She didn't want to ruin the moment.
She's talking big and bad, Stacia, but where's your papers at?
Yeah. So then we have the pics. And so he puts his hand around her waist and he's like, oh, you got a small waist too. I like that.
He is obsessed. Like, sir, I think I know what y'all will be doing tonight. Gosh.
There is absolutely no question about if he's attracted to her.
None at all.
So they're just really cute together while they're taking pictures. She points out like in a confessional, like she's been single for a while. So she's just been closed off to getting herself hurt. And we just see like it feels like they have natural chemistry. Like I get the feeling that these pictures aren't forced.
Yeah. I mean, they can take a good picture.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like just being close, like he asked for a kiss or kissing, like it's we've seen some bad photo shoots.
Yeah.
But just like, I don't know how to be close to him because he's still a stranger.
I don't want to touch him. Right. I don't think we should kiss. That would be inappropriate.
Right. I don't know you.
Yeah. I just met you 30 minutes ago.
Right. Right. That was something that was funny that he was on his confessional. And he's like, look, I just met her like 30 minutes ago. All I want to do is go get to know her.
Instead of like, doing I want to draw these cameras and I just want to go talk to her.
Yeah.
You get it, sir. You are infatuated.
Yes. So then we cut to the reception. They're doing their first dance. And she asks like what his first impression was. He was like, well, I started smiling. So that's a good indicator.
Like, yeah. He was, he's getting a little handsy on the dance floor.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah. He said there's something in her body language. He could just feel it in her body language. He don't know if she's giving it off or he's giving it off, but there's something there. And she already embodies everything he wants in a wife.
I mean, that was a statement. That yes. was something to say like 30 minutes after you met your new wife.
Right.
And you barely know her. But I mean, from what he does know, he really likes what he sees. He likes what he knows of her accomplishments. He likes, you know, the real question will be what happens when you have to spend like 24 hours a day with this person? That would be the real test. And when you turn over at night and she's staring at you while she's snoring, right. How will you handle that when you're in the moment?
He's not going to care. He loves everything else.
Yeah.
Oh. So we end their segment with him saying, like, I have to be sharp because I want to be a good husband for her, which I really liked him saying that.
Yeah, that was definitely a good thing to say. So yeah, I think he's in the might have the right headspace, mm-hmm. and hopefully he's preparing himself for just really how much of a boss she is.
Yeah, I hope she is a boss. You are right. But I love his confidence when he's with her. I think that it could be a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I can see. So given what we've seen, where are you at?
You know, I can be hopeful. I think he's more into her than she is into him, even though on After Party she did say that she was at a 10. So apparently she's really into it.
I think she's smitten. And I think it's one of those, she's been guarded for so long that it's not like, she's not about to be like Justin, like, oh, I'm about to fall in love with this man. No, I feel like she's kind of like proceeding with caution, but she's into it right now.
Yeah. So I'm hopeful right now. I'm in a hopeful space. So I'm going to go ahead and give him a 4 for right now. I think we're in a hopeful spot. You know, from some of the preview shots we've seen, they get steamy probably really quick.
Yeah.
But we know about the track record of people that get hot and heavy quickly. Mm-hmm. But they seem to really be into each other so far. So I'm going to go ahead with a 4. How about you?
I was at a 2 last week, and that's just because I just wasn't sure. But now that I've seen them together, I'm also going to go up to a 4. Only reason I'm not going to go up to a 5 is because I just want to see what it's like when they get deeper. Yeah. I want to see if there is substance to the conversation. Are they going to be able to, you know, relate to each other? I mean, they're not that different in age, but, you know, just interest and just enjoying each other's company. So I'm also at a 4.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to pin the like Playboy card on him because we haven't seen like too much of that. Uh-huh. It's why bike it for some reason. And they did flash a lot to his female friend, like at the wedding a lot. Yeah. So that was like, okay, that's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, for now, I'm hopeful. So yeah, we're both 4s. We'll see where that takes us.
Right. Where do you want to go to next?
We are going to go over to Justin and Alexis. So, you know, they've had their wedding already. So we're going to the photos now. They're over there taking photos. She once again mentions that she's been proposed to 3 times. I don't think about this 3 times thing. And we're talking about like, I got proposed to once in high school, once in college. I think she got proposed to twice in college. That was a while ago. I think we can kind of lay off on that. I've been proposed to 3 times.
Yeah, it's just like a speaking point at this point.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how serious any of those proposals really were, but we'll move away from it. Yeah. The producers obviously told her to bring that up many times, as she has.
How many? Hey, Alexis, how many times were you engaged or proposed to?
They're behind the camera. They're just flashing 3 at her all the time.
Right.
You haven't said it in the last 30 minutes. Go ahead.
They might have forgotten.
Yeah, she's very happy in this moment. She says, "Yeah, we're going to grow old together, right in front of your eyes." And I was like, "Wow, that's big."
Yeah.
And they're taking their pictures. They are just so they're cuddled up. They're giggling. They're kissing. And the pictures look fantastic. I mean,
they did.
And he's not towering over her. Like he's a good like compared to her. Like in those pictures. He was had a good size thing going. I think she's even a taller woman,
right?
On the scale of what a woman would be considered tall, maybe like a 5'10". So it's not like, you know, he's dwarfing her. So it is really good pictures, really good moments here. They have this like chest bump where they jump and bump each other's chests, which is interesting.
Yes.
And he looks at her and he says, you know, he tells like the camera, he's like, you know, I feel like I'm going to fall in love with her. And I mean, on the After Party, Alexis did say like, that's a red flag.
Her experience with like as a mental health counselor, maybe. Yeah, she said this is a red flag for her because he doesn't know enough about her.
How can you say that? You just met me today. But I mean, she did say that they were going to grow old together right in front of us. So let's not go casting stones. You've been pretty lovey-dovey too.
Yeah, it's just it's such a strong statement.
It is. I mean, to throw the L word, which we know on this show is like huge, you know, traditionally, for me to throw that out there after an hour knowing her, that's pretty big. Like, you should stay away from that word whenever you can. Even if you're talking about someone like a family member that you love.
Yeah.
You shouldn't even use those words in this whole day. Thing. Like, oh, wow, that's my mom. I really love, I like her. I like my mom.
Right, because it's like, even, I mean, you know, like, you're getting married. We know love is on the table eventually, or we would hope. So it's just like, for him, he's like, oh, I know I'm going to fall in love with her. I know it. And it's just, I understand he's very happy right now. He's on cloud nine. But I don't even think he thought anything of it. I think he just thought, like, I'm going to say this because I'm just so happy right now, and this is the best thing I could say. But she's like, wait a second.
He's like running on adrenaline right now. He's like, he's not even thinking about the words he's saying.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so happy.
Yeah.
So we move to their reception. They have their first dance. You know, again, a very nice, fun, light first dance. They dance kind of weirdly. He bends down to like get on her level because her neck is getting a crick in it from staring up at him. So he says he just wants to stare at her. I was like, okay, Justin, it's turning into creepy territory.
Yeah, he said it feels like they have history.
Yeah, man, you just met her an hour ago. Calm down. In the confessional, he says, no, they don't feel like strangers anymore. You know, the chemistry and the energy is there. And, you know, he's not used to feeling this comfortable with someone. They're kissing on the dance floor. And then she asks him, so when's the last time you kissed someone? He says, well, it's been about a year and a half. He's like, and just because I want to share too much information right now, I've also been celibate for a year and a half. And so what does Alexis do with this information? This shocking piece of news. She turns around and blurts it out to the whole room. Mostly to her friends, I think, but she's just like, he's celibate. Like, wow. Okay, Alexis.
And it sounded like she said, and I didn't catch it the first time. My friend caught it and asked me, did Alexis just say this? She sounded like she said celibate, but I think it's just, she's like, he's celibate. I think it's just the way she talks. It's just, you know, I feel like she talks like through her nose, but it's like a deep nasally type of situation. I want to say she definitely said celibate, but it definitely sounded like celibate.
So, I mean, it's like, okay, not so loud. But I mean, I feel like Justin telling her probably should not have been at that moment anyway.
Yeah.
Should have been a more intimate moment. And, you know, in the confessional, Alexis is like, well, you know, this is weird. Like, I hope that doesn't mean like I'm going to be denied. I hope it means I can get some at some point. Like, he's not going to stay celibate while we're married.
Right. I mean, Alexis, y'all are married. Like, why would you be off limits?
But I do wonder if, I wonder if he wants a deeper connection before they do that. But I think right now in his mind, their connection is pretty deep. So
he's like, might, there.
We have history. Yeah, they have history of a whole hour. So they might go ahead. He might go ahead and break that celibacy tonight. Like,
yeah. Yeah. You know, okay, for her to say, I hope I'm not off limits. I'm like, oh, so you want to with him?
Oh, I think Alexis is down, you know,
even with all the red, with not all the red flags, but with the red flag of love.
Yeah, I think she's fine. So, you know, on After Party, we got Alexis. Did you get any type of vibe from Alexis?
You mean the vibe that she can't stand him?
I mean, no, I didn't get that vibe at all.
I got that vibe. It was very. Yeah. That's what was like, are they coached how to be on After Party? Because for y'all that don't know, this is a spoiler-free podcast. We don't ever know the destiny of these couples until we watch the finale, we watch Decision Day. And so usually watching After Party, I'm like, trying not to get spoiled. I don't want to read body language. But Alexis was like, not only did she say, oh, red flag, but she also was like laughing at him, thinking that girls look at him like a piece of meat, and even went on with it. Yeah, and like, would you look at asking the other two wives, would you look at Justin and think he's a piece of meat? It's like, why are you trying to embarrass him?
That's true. But I could also see that she'd be the type of person that would be like kind of jokey like that, mm-hmm. and being like a little blunt. So I didn't read that much into it.
Did you get?
I got that they were fine. Like, for all three of the ladies there, like, the vibe I got was like, wow, they really are talking like really genuinely about mm-hmm. their people and about how they feel about their people. Like, you know, we are a spoiler free podcast, but I definitely do try and read their after parties all the time. I'm like, okay, how is the inflection when they're speaking about their people? What's their body language like? What's their face like? Because, I mean, it's not a confirmed spoiler, but I want to see if I'm reading them correctly. And what I read from them, from all three of them, was that they still like the people that they're involved with. I didn't get any, you know, essences of hate in their voices or actions like I did with Lindsay and Mark season.
I definitely didn't get it from Lindy or Stasha, but I felt like those little things from Alexis were like, wait a second.
Okay, yeah, that's something.
But I didn't get it from him last week, so
yeah, sure. From Stasha, I picked up that they are like, I picked up some like Katina and Elijah one, like
I'm about to FaceTime him for you guys.
Right, like, I got that vibe from Stasha, so they might be fine still to whatever they filmed at after party. So because she still seemed really smitten, unless she's got some acting classes. I don't know.
Yeah. So. So we're talking about Alexis and Justin, but
yes. So I mean, that's pretty much their whole segment. You know, we ended with with Alexis saying she hopes she can get some from Justin. We'll see what happens whenever we get the first nights, which is probably being like 3 episodes. So where are you rating them this week?
I'm gonna maintain my 2.
Really?
I do feel like they're having a good time. And Alexis did say that. Rudy was like, oh, Alexis, you seem excited at after party. She's like, that's my default. So
yeah,
I feel like she is the type of person that's going to have a good time no matter the situation. So that's what makes me nervous that, like, is she just excited as a default and into this? Or is she truly into him at this point?
Is she just excited that she's in the same vicinity as Rudy Huxtable? I think I was at a 2 last week.
Yeah.
I'm going to up it to a 3. I felt really positive about the episode. There wasn't a whole lot of red flags for her in the episode. Mm-hmm. I just feel like if this is going to go downhill, it's going to be because she's not into it. I think Justin is like over the moon.
Right.
And will probably stay that way because he's like, he seems like a type of guy that will be like, once he's in, he's in. Mm-hmm. I feel like if this is going to go badly, it's going to be because she's not into it.
Yeah. I feel like Alexis is used to being in the power position, as we've heard time and time again. She's been proposed to 3 times. Yeah. And I think it may start to concern her that he's way more into her than she's into him.
Yeah,
because once you're always in the power position, it seems like you might want something different to know, like, okay, this is the one, not, oh, this is like everything else I've experienced.
But I do get the vibe from Justin that he might be okay with her being in the power position.
Yeah, like, no, he's fine. I'm concerned about her.
Yeah, but I mean, is it going to be enticing to her to be able to be in the power position without much like resistance? Right. But yeah, I do feel like she wants someone that is going to also want to be in the power position, but they kind of in the power together. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Justin's going to be a little too beta to her alpha for her liking.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm going to go with a 3. You are a 2, right?
I'm a 2. Yeah, I'm maintaining my 2. I'll see how long I can be a 2. Maybe next week they'll impress me.
Are you going to be, are they going to be your Lindsay and Mark from me last season, where you're going to stick at one number all season because you're so convinced?
Maybe. If Alexis is on After Party again.
Yeah. So that's Justin Alexis for this week. Where are we going next?
Let's go ahead and talk about Mitch and Kristen. We didn't get to...
mess these two.
Yeah, we didn't get too much from them, but still some nuggets.
And what we got was good, though.
Yeah, we didn't get their wedding, but we did get content. Mm-hmm. So they did their wedding, or the dress and tux shopping. And so he rode his bike to the tux place, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, boy. Mitch is the kind of environmentalist guy that needs you to know mm-hmm. that he is an environmentalist guy, and that what you are doing is wrong, and what he is doing is right, and he uh-huh. is a better person because of it.
Yes, exactly. I'm right, you're wrong, and there's nothing you can do about it.
You're killing the environment.
So she's very excited, but she is thinking about the last time she almost got married. So that's making her a little nervous. Her at this point, her dad still has no idea. He thinks that she's doing some type of matchmaking experiment, but that's all he knows. And her friends are a little concerned about that.
Yeah.
We find out from Mitch that he's run from most of the relationships he's had, and he feels like this is going to force him to commit at the highest level of commitment. Mitch, you are 41 years old.
You are a grown-ass man. Right. When someone has to force you to be committed to something, that is not the thing you should be doing. Like, that's like, I can't understand why, if he said this to any producer or any expert, why they wouldn't stamp him rejected right then and there. Like, mm-hmm. why would we have to force you to be committed? Like, that's not what this is for.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's not going to work if you're being forced.
Yeah, but he says this is going to force me to be the highest level of commitment because I have failed at the lowest levels of commitment in relationships. Like, oh, like this.
So it makes sense.
Right.
It's like saying, okay, I'm going to commit to this diet. I failed at like only drinking water, but I think I'm going to succeed at only eating vegetable, like cutting everything out and just doing like pure paleo.
Yeah. The next day.
Yeah.
Like, you just decided like, okay, I've been drinking soda. I've been, you know, smoking
eating
cigarettes.
Twinkies, yeah.
You know, tomorrow I'm going to cut all that out and I'm going to make someone force me because they just told me I had to, because that's going to make me stop. Like,
yeah.
This doesn't make any sense, Mitch.
Right. And Kristen says that like she's going to work really hard to make this work. So I'm
famous
glad
last words, Kristen. Famous last words.
I know. And it's like, I want to remember that she said this because when things get hard, I want to see if she's the one, which now that we've seen a little bit more of Mitch, I believe that might be the case.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous for her. So she's telling her dad. She's telling her dad today. She woke up at 4 a.m. drenched in sweat because she's so nervous. So her dad walks in. He says hey to the whole room, cameras and all.
This was a fantastic moment here. He walks in. He looks confused, like, from jump.
Yes.
He's like, why are there cameras in here? And then he looks at her, who is in, like, a pajama set, like a mm-hmm. pajama shirt and, like, pajama shorts. And the way he looked at her was like, why are you in pajamas? Like, what is happening here? Like,
yeah,
what is going on?
Right.
He looks so confused when he walks in and looks yes. at her.
Right. And let's see. So there's a little bit more before we get to him actually walking in. So when before that, we get Mitch preparing for the wedding, right? Because we ended their segment on Steve coming in.
Yeah, because we strung out the dad coming in the whole episode. Yes, and that was like the last scene of the episode. Yeah.
Yes, literally. So, well, one more thing we found out from Kristen was that she would either be happy with a brunette or a bald man. Perfect. Got you a bald man right here in Mitch. Okay, so Mitch is getting his haircut. He gets his haircut on his head. And then his barber is working. She's working on his beard. And he gets up to go look in the mirror. He's like, oh, it's too short. I don't ever wear it this short.
He flips the hell out. He's like, no, this is not how I wear my beard. How dare you?
Right. I thought it looked fine, but I can understand if it's like different than your normal look and you need some adjusting.
It's the best the man has looked since you've seen him. Like, what is wrong, Mitch?
He was not happy. And so his friends are trying to like clown him for it. And he's just like,
but no, they're not clowning him. They're trying to reassure him. They're like, it looks fine. Like, well, yeah, it looks good. He's like, next subject, next. I don't know.
One of them was trying to make a joke. I can't remember exactly what was said, but yeah, they weren't doing anything harmful.
Well, I mean, like, I think his brother at least was like, yeah, it looks fine. Like, I mean, compared to the shorter hair, like, mm-hmm. It looks fine. He's like, no, I don't want to hear it. Next subject. And I mean, Mitch, you already got some things happening with you, man. You like got a weird bandage on your head.
Yes, he's a fan babe.
So you already got problems, man. Like yes. This is doing you a favor, Mitch. She's doing you a favor.
So once he like is done being mad about this, it's time. He's like, well, where's my bow tie? Gotta put on my bow tie. They're trying to tie his bow tie, but they don't know how. And he starts getting frustrated again. He's like, can we get somebody who knows how to tie a bow tie?
Can we get someone here that knows how to tie a mother effing tie? I'm going to lose my shit.
I'm like, Mitch, are you just nervous? And this is us seeing you like crack because you're nervous? Ooh. Or do you just have a temper?
Oh, I think this is Mitch. I think this is everyday Mitch. I think this is Mitch when you show up at his house with a plastic, water bottle. I think this is everyday Mitch.
Oh my goodness.
This is Mitch when you use a hairspray when he's over at your house. You're using aerosol hairspray. This is that Mitch. He gets pissed off, upset, gets a little grumpy. Oh. He gets to be like a 5-year-old. Like, the way he's like temper tantruming here is just like, all right, dude. Like, you went from 0 to 1,000 in like literally less than 2 seconds.
Yeah, it was. I literally was like sitting there with wide eyes, like, is he serious? Because it's just like, wait, no, you're joking. And I know every season we see some qualities that kind of show us why these people are single or have been single and like why they resorted to married at first sight. And this was our scene for Mitch. I just hope that having a temper is not a theme for him. Because it seems like if one thing does not go his way, he is frustrated.
Yeah, I mean, he's ready to lose it at the drop of a hat. I think I think his brother at some point, not this episode, but when, like last episode, maybe he mentioned like, I think even Mitch mentioned like he gets upset when people don't like refill his like reusable water bottle. Like he causes a scene, which were his words. So it's like, I think this is going to be an issue.
Yeah, exactly. And so we have that. So then we finally get to her dad coming. He walks in and she's like, you know, I was doing that matchmaking thing. Well, they found me a match and he's excited for her. She's like, but the part I didn't tell you is that it's a legally binding marriage. And, one more thing, I've never met him. Her dad is shocked, obviously.
I mean, rightfully so.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, well, I hope you can walk me down the aisle. He's like, nah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this was outrageous. It almost feels like this was like producer manipulated, like
the words.
Yeah, that too. But the way they just like were always convincing her, like, yeah, you don't need to tell your dad. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. just wait until you come on the day of so they can get their nice juicy content.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was outrageous, insane. Don't try this at home, folks. It was bad. I can't blame the dad for anything that he does next, because, you know, whether he decides to stay or leave, I feel like he's warranted in either decision, because this is nuts. Like, he says to her, like, this is nuts. This is insane.
Right. I think they're close. I think he will walk her down. He may just be hesitant, but he'll do it.
I think all in all, he'll walk his daughter down the aisle in his nice, like, blue button up and like his jeans. Because she told him to just like look nice, less of like a business casual nice, not a I'm going to give my daughter away her wedding nice.
Right. I think this is just like the most interesting thing that we could get from Lindy right now. So
you mean Kristen?
I mean, yeah, Kristen. So same boat with Lindy, but yeah. with Kristen, I think, you know, if we weren't focused on this dad plot point, what else would we have?
Yeah, besides really the
wedding. Yeah, if we keep bringing up the mistress coming 2 weeks before the wedding.
Yeah, and she also mentions like, you know, I feel like this is going to be good karma for the relationship I had to endure last time. Like, that's not really how it works, Kristen. I mean, I don't know how much you're going to believe in karma when you find out that you got paired with Mitch. So we'll see how you feel about karma then.
Right.
But yeah, that's the most interesting thing about Kristen. So let's see what there is after the whole dad drama is over. I think the drama will be her dealing with Mitch, but yeah.
Right. So that was it for them. What would you rate them?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give them a 2. I don't even need to see like interaction yet. I just have this like feeling that it's going to go bad, just mostly because of Mitch. But I do feel like Kristen might have a track record of like staying with a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure with that last person, that whole mistress thing probably wasn't even the worst. Like, it was probably the worst thing. Mm-hmm. But he seemed already like a scrub beforehand. Like, and she has excused some bad behavior probably.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to maintain my 3 because they give me shades of what were their names? You know what I'm talking about.
Beth and Jamie?
No, AJ and Stephanie.
AJ's. Okay.
AJ had a little temper.
You, on our ranking podcast, you came hard after AJ.
Yes.
But AJ is nowhere near as bad as Mitch is. What we've already seen from Mitch in like a couple episodes.
Well, yeah, because AJ's issues, yes, they weren't in the atmosphere. They were all with filming. It was the production of it all. So it was like, okay, once that's not there, I could see that not being a thing. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, AJ got pissy a couple times with production, but nowhere near the temper tantrum we saw with Mitch in this episode.
At his barber.
Yeah. I'm trying to find like a good comparison with Mitch for someone that's just like kind of melted down like this. But one can't come to mind at the moment other than like a Chris from Atlanta, but he's not a Chris Atlanta bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, maybe like a Jamie from Jamie and Beth. I don't know. But I do see there can be some hope with like they seem both kind of like to have like fiery personalities. Maybe they'll mesh together. But I do feel like Mitch's attitude and his like demeanor is going to be a turnoff for her. So I'm giving it a 2. You're giving it a 3.
Yeah, I'm going to maintain my 3. I still need to see them meet. We'll see.
Yeah, I get it.
So last couple.
Last but not least, Lindy and Miguel. We get Dr. Pepper coming on saying they both prove they like to work for what they want. And even though Lindy comes from a sheltered life and may overthink, fun-loving Miguel is sure to take her stress away. So, yeah, we get to the obligatory dress and tuck shopping. She goes through a bunch of dresses.
She's overthinking it.
Overthinking. He's also in his tux shop getting butterflies. And he really hopes that they pair him with someone that can appreciate all of his layers, all of the things that make Miguel Miguel, because he is a complex individual. He tells his buddies he hopes that neither one of them feel like they are settling, and he thinks he'll be smitten since he is such a romantic and is happy he's marrying someone that will be, you know, obviously if they're doing this process, will be as committed as he is. Mm-hmm. We come back to her and she's still being indecisive about these dresses. She's tried on about three or four of them. You know, and while she's trying on another dress, her friends talk smack about her and says, you know, she's really overthinking. And she says, you know, with her, the small things can really escalate. And, you know, it's probably because of her structured upbringing. And because of that, she doesn't know a lot. She doesn't have a lot of life experiences. And she gets really anxious and hopes that her husband can ground her. And, you know, because they worry that she will overthink all the little things when it comes to him, and hopes that she gives them the time and space to learn about each other without going off the deep end. So, I mean, yeah, they basically like kind of threw her under the bus as she was out there trying on dresses.
Yeah, when they said she still doesn't know much, I was like, good Lord.
She has a personality of a 12-year-old, doesn't know anything.
Right. This was definitely like the producer influence talk about, you know, a point about her, which is, you know, I think this is definitely going to be a theme. If she doesn't know something, it's going to be like, oh, I didn't know it growing up.
But I don't think she's you know, if anyone out there watched the show like a while ago on Netflix, it was The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes.
Like, she's not that level of like, doesn't know anything. Like,
right.
She is a fully functioning adult that has obtained a doctorate. You know, I think she, you know, she's not some like room that just came out of a cave after 20 years.
Right.
Like that, the way that her friends and family were talking about it was just like, she doesn't know crap.
Right.
Like, she's lost. So, you know, I think it might be a little overhyped how, you know, how bad she is. So we go over to Miguel's side. His buddies are saying, you know, are throwing shade on their friend when he's out trying on tux. He's overlooked a lot of things in the past, and he's in his mid-30s. He's still looking for somebody to go to Disneyland with as his plus one. And they're talking all this stuff as Miguel is like walking up in his purple unfortunate tux, that he walks up and he's like, I'm here, you guys are still talking about me.
They're like, well, we were just gonna ignore you. Yeah, finish the conversation.
Kind of, you weren't there. What do you think about this purple tux?
It struck me more as like a pink and blue. But
pink and blue.
Yeah, it was like blue shimmer, but pink under. I did not get purple.
Oh my! This might be a blue and white dress situation.
Right. I know. I didn't get purple, but okay. Oh, pink and blue together is purple.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. There we go. See, we saw the same thing. I just, my eyes separated them.
Oh, okay. You have superior eyes, Agent. I get it. You can separate colors.
I thought it was unique, you know, and he strikes me as somebody who marches to the beat of his own drum. So,
yeah, hey. He certainly makes a statement to his new wife, I suppose.
Right.
She comes out in another dress and she's still not sure. And the dress person's like, all right, enough of this. I'm going to go ahead and end this now. She's like, all right, close your eyes and envision your wedding. When you open your eyes, what dress do you imagine you're wearing? And since she's wearing that dress, she's like, oh, I guess this one. I'm like, all right, good. You're done. You right. found the dress. Great. We'll ring up at the front. Mm-hmm. In the confessional, Lindy says she's ready to fall in love with someone and that, you know, she's seen her parents' marriage mistakes and does not want to bring that type of toxicity to her relationship. But, you know, wants to enjoy all the fun stuff before all the hard conversations come and all the tough moments. So, I mean, she's trying to come at this with a positive attitude.
Yeah, I mean, I think she has I was really struck by, you know, her not really wanting to change. But I feel like she has the right intentions going into this.
Yeah, I think so. So we get to the wedding day and, you know, she meets up with her friends in the little room that they've got for her. She says that, you know, she's had her heart trampled before. And she's ready to trust other people with her love life. Oh, Lindy, big mistake. If only you knew.
Right. Once again, like we talked about last week, have you seen a season?
Batting average of one.
Right. Lindy,
per season.
One in the past two seasons.
Yeah. Are you going to be that one? Yeah. Because you got a one in five absolutely. Shot. Well, you're taking a 20% chance here.
Yeah.
So we go over to Miguel talking to his buddies in his room. And he says, you know, so what was your last meal as a single man? He said, I had two Snickers and a pack of Oreos. That's my kind of meal right there.
He's your
and
guy.
The friend remarks, so you've just given up on your bod now that you're married, huh? Like, yeah, pretty much.
Hmm.
Miguel says he's doing this because he's tired of being alone and he has been a serial monogamist and finding a wife is basically the end game. So when he enters a relationship, he gives his all right away, but his return on investment so far has been pretty bad.
Yeah, his friends tell him that this is going to be dating in reverse, which I don't think in 15 seasons we've ever heard it framed that way. But that's
true. I think that makes sense.
It's true.
That's really like impactful statement. You're doing the marriage first, and then you're having to get to know the match first. So that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So they talk about the dance. Yeah, they talk about the dancing at the wedding. Well, Lindy's friend talks about the dancing at the wedding, and they talk about the fact that, you know, it might be a little awkward since when they were in high school, they weren't allowed to dance. Apparently, they were in the Footloose town where they weren't allowed to dance. And, you know, they couldn't even hold hands. They couldn't dance. They couldn't date. They couldn't even hug each other. If they hugged, they could only hug without touching chests. Well, my wife and I tried this very hard.
It's called an A-frame hug.
Yeah, an A-frame, because you make a little, like, kind of like a teepee, I guess. Because you're just like, are you putting your arms around the person's shoulders?
Uh-huh.
It's awkward. We were like, all right, me and wife were watching the show. It's like, all right, let's try this. Pause it. Let's see if we can do it.
Right.
It was hard. It was tough. So Lindy talks about, you know, since she was sheltered, she had a slow development, you know, like kind of socially. So conversations may be hard at first. And again, how old is Lindy? Lindy's in her 30s, right?
Yeah. I noted it last week. Let me see. Yeah, she's 29.
Oh, she's 29. I was like, so yeah. Lindy, conversations are still hard. Like, and she mentions an after party. She hasn't been in the church for years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right.
So yeah, now she's spiritual. She considers herself a Christian, but she's not like going to church every Sunday or anything.
Right. So I mean, still hard, Lindy.
Yeah.
Okay. Red flag. So he says, Miguel says his biggest challenge is finding someone to help steer the ship, because, you know, he feels like he's pretty much taking the lead in every relationship. He's had to do it himself. His friend says, you know, he's also going to have to help her as much as she helps him. He says he's going into this with his best foot forward, and he's going to try the best he can. Lindy says she feels like she's dating people that try to stifle her womanhood and want someone that will encourage her to be her, but also to know when she is being too much. Okay, this is a problem, Lindy. Like, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, she's an interesting one. I really need to see her with him.
Yeah, she's because, a strange duck.
Yeah, like she's giving interesting, and that's not because she plays video games or works out, because that's so
not that crazy.
Yeah. I just need to, I mean, you can say so many things leading up to marriage, so
right. And up to this point, we've pretty much only gotten like flowery language from everyone.
Right.
Exactly. It really takes when, you know, when we're in the thick of it and see how things go.
Right.
So, you know, her friend says, you know, she needs someone that's going to rise to the challenge of her. I'm like, oh, that's not good when your friends are describing you as a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So his friend's asking, well, what if she doesn't like gaming? He says, you know, I mean, as long as she's open-minded, it's all good. We don't need to do every single thing together. So as long as she's supportive, it's fine. She meets up with her family in her dress. They talk about her dad not being supportive and deciding not to be there.
Was this the first we heard of that?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. So I was like, wait a second. We've been so focused on Kristen's dad, like yeah. Every scene. But then it's just like, oh, yeah, my dad isn't supportive. I'm not going to be here.
Like, yeah, wait, on after party, she did say that she blindsided him as well. Like, yeah, like, oh my gosh, crazy. Why y'all blindside your family?
Right.
Be in communication. And then the big moment comes for Lindy. She gets her James Allen ring, which, if you haven't heard before, jamesallen.com has this impressive selection. Colors, cuts, clarity. It can't be beat. You got to go there immediately. Don't play this podcast backwards, because you would only hear James Allen backwards a thousand times.
I thought you were going to say, don't walk, run to jamesallen.com.
Yeah, run to your nearest computer. She says it's exactly what she wanted, a timeless diamond.
Yeah.
As someone is holding cue cards, just out of camera shot. Right. So Miguel says the only thing he's going to miss out being single is, not having not to worry about his bathroom smell. He's going to have to control himself now. He can't just go farting up the joint.
That's the only thing. Nothing else is a concern.
Yeah. Lindy says that she understands the risk she's taking, and she knows that she is ready, but she doesn't really know what she's getting into. She says she witnessed her parents' divorce, and she doesn't want that to happen to her. Miguel walks down to the altar, and Lindy's family is very excited about what they see. So, oh, he's so good looking. So they're liking what they see. He wants to be swept off his feet by her.
They were literally giggling. Yeah, like, I was like, is this Miguel's? And I was like, no, I looked at the bottom. It was like Lindy's friend. It's like, yep. Oh.
They're into it. He says he wants to be swept off his feet by her, and says that there is beauty in the unknown. And he's at the altar. He's like, babe, where art thou? I'm like, oh, okay. Upsetting to me.
He yelled it.
So she finally walks down the aisle. His friends are impressed about what they see. Like, oh, Miguel, that's what you're getting. Oh my gosh. Then she gets up to the altar. She hugs him tightly and will not let go for a good, like, 30 seconds.
This was an intimate hug. Yep. Like, this was a, I don't have to A-frame hug with you. I can hug you like I want to hug you, and you're so handsome. Yes. I actually thought they were really adorable. Like, I thought that this was great.
Yeah, I mean, and he tried to let go, and she would not let him go.
Yeah.
She embraced him for a good 30 seconds. Right. So they're up there. They introduce themselves to each other. This officiant was extra. Did you feel that?
So extra. I was like, did Miguel hire this officiant?
Is this one of his D&D buddies? Like, is this the dungeon master of his group? Like, illustrating the story? Like, he was real animated.
He was. And I was just like, he was turning to each of them. Yeah. And just like, he was in it. Yeah. It was like he knew them. They personally asked him. He's friendly, you know, like, they've been friends with him for years. He knows their whole history of their relationship. It was a lot.
Yeah. So he goes, Miguel, Lenny's friends and family want you to know this about her. Yeah. She is a woman that finds beauty in everyone and everything, and knows how to, I'm not going to do the whole thing. And knows how to get the best out of the best in them.
That's the guy you can impersonate.
Yeah. He needs to stick around.
Yeah.
And she can make normal days into adventure for her patients, because she's a physical therapist, and make their visits feel vibrant and exciting. And is a type of friend where if you lose touch, you can pick right back up where you left off when you get back together. Be prepared not just to have a wife, but to have a best friend for a lifetime. And for the friends and family to say about Miguel, they say he is the missing puzzle piece you will spend hours looking for. And when he appears and fits into your life, he will bring calm to chaos and beauty where you saw none. Got a business idea? Miguel is your first investor. Need to dig a ditch? Miguel is there with inappropriate footwear, but ready to work. But don't worry, he is a doctor with a PhD in neuroscience. And as they call the guy they call when you need support and make bad things good and good things great. Now, this friends and family segment, really, like, different than what we've been getting.
Yeah.
There was no, on either side, there was no shade thrown.
None. I was like, the way Miguel's friends wrote it, or friends and family, I was like, this is so well worded. It wasn't just like, Fact. It was a beautiful story about Miguel.
I was expecting there to be like nerd thrown in there, like he's a giant nerd.
Yeah.
Who else to wear a bear costume to play D&D?
You better know how to play D&D or you're going to be in trouble.
Right. You better love comic books or he will dump your ass so hard. So then we get to vows. Her vows were, I promise to be patient while our feelings grow and to work on facing our problems that arise as a team. Hopefully we can support each other and have a happy start to this journey. His vows are, as of right now, he doesn't know much about her. But however, they already have so much in common. They're both crazy, impulsive. He is a huge fan of her open-mindedness, bravery, and sense of adventure. He can't wait for them to begin their celebration of having found each other. And may they finally find the love they've been searching for this whole time. Now, I was, again, let down. Like, no poem, Miguel? Like,
no.
None of your greatest hits? None of
he,
your...
like, breaks it out, just starts saying it. I'm like, yeah. I recognize that. I know that piece.
Yeah, do you think somebody, like, pulled him aside and was like, Miguel, you need... this is not time for the poem.
You're like, not to... at the altar.
Yeah, you cannot scare her off this soon. Just write something nice that doesn't rhyme. Calm Please. Down. Yeah. Let's not scare her away. So maybe they got into his ear.
Maybe.
All right. So we do our thing. We do the, I do's. We run
she
down.
She said her I do before she was ready. She was excited.
Yep. Yeah. Another person jumping the gun. So we go out to the first real sit down between these two. She tells him that she already feels comfortable with him.
They kiss too. I'm not sure if you said that.
Oh, okay. They kiss.
So everybody kiss. I mean, well, I don't think because usually we'll have somebody that's like, oh, I don't want to kiss. I'm not going to kiss at the altar.
Or like a peck at the cheek.
Yeah. But everybody has kissed so far.
We got some mouth kisses. I think mm-hmm. Justin may have tried to slip a tongue in there.
on her teeth.
Yeah, on her teeth. So for like within 10 seconds of them sitting down, Miguel brings out the D&D dice. Like, okay, Miguel, calm down.
Not a and second so, went by.
Yeah, he basically explains to her what D&D is. He describes it as like improv, like that takes place in like a Lord of the Rings type of setting. And he says he and his friends were like rolling the die, trying to like, think about what was going to happen, try to predict what was going to happen using the dice. And confessionally, he says, well, I think it's kind of cute that he's so nerdy and he's passionate about it. So she didn't run screaming from the hills, which is good.
Yeah, I think she's very easygoing.
Yeah, I think
I think that, I think he's in for a treat with her. Like, I think she's going to embrace his nerdiness. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be like, oh my gosh, he's talking about D&D again. He's like, I don't know anything about this, but I'm going to go with him to play D&D.
Yeah, we don't have a Haley on our hands.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
So she asked about his work. And almost the worst way that you can put any of this, he says, well, basically, I'm a drug dealer.
Yeah.
He says,
I think that was a joke for him.
It was, but it's a weird thing to say when you're just meeting someone.
Yes.
He says, well, it's because I sell pharmaceuticals. He says, I was a scientist, but then I decided to go into medical writing. So medical writing is like, I looked it up because I was like, what is medical writing? Medical writing is basically like taking the information from like raw research data and kind of putting it into like journals and writing it out to kind of better place it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice living. Average is about $101,000 a year in the U.S.
Wow, nice. So,
and you imagine San Diego, it's got to be even more than that probably.
Mm-hmm.
So he's pulling down the bucks. She tells him about her work and how she, the way she has it set up, she can work here and there. She has a lot of flexibility so that she, can be able to travel. Mm-hmm. He says, oh, that's perfect because all I need to work is Wi-Fi so I can go with you. So she's tickled about that. She's like, oh, my God, this is so perfect. Yes. They both look at the camera and like give a thumbs up. It's like, great job, experts.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where you're at in a couple of weeks, Miguel and Lindy.
Right.
I mean, that was basically it for Miguel and Lindy. Where are you at with them?
Yeah, so I'm optimistic. I like that it was such a pleasant meeting. I think she finds him very intriguing. She's attracted to him. She's smitten. Just like Stasha, I feel like Lindy is also smitten. And I feel like Miguel is very happy. I mean, to pull out D&D right away, I think he was just ready to jump all in.
To pull his D out right away when, you know, as soon as they met, that's big.
So I'm going to, last week I was at a 2. I'm actually going to jump up to a 4.
Okay, yeah, I think I'm on the same page with you. I'm at a 4. I think, you know, the way that her friends described her in the very first episode made me think that she's going to be like this monster. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she's going to be like critical and mean. We haven't seen like at that side at all.
Yeah.
She's been indecisive. She's been neurotic. But I think Miguel is a good person to put with her because he will kind of ground her a little bit. He seems compassionate. He seems patient.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a really good match. This might be our success of the season. You know, could be. Could be our boring couple.
Could be.
Could be.
Well, yeah. They could be. I'm going to say Miguel's not like, I think there's always going to be something that we're going to be intrigued with Miguel by.
Yeah.
Where usually with the boring couple, it's like both of them are just there. There's just nothing to show.
Yeah. Right. I mean, Miguel is quirky, but they're both kind of quirky. I mean, they both,
true.
I think they both kind of fit each other. I can see this being an actual good match. So yeah, we're both going to go with 4s. We're both hopeful for this couple. So we'll see where it leads us.
Okay, about 2 4s today, Stasha, Nate, and Lindy and Miguel.
Hey, it's early times. Like, you know, right. we're all optimistic now because we haven't seen any of the bad parts. Wait till we get to that season preview.
And right. We'll,
maybe change our tunes a little bit.
Yeah. We still have the next time on. We get the reception for Nate and Stasha. We get more of the reception of Alexis and Justin, where Alexis's sisters are like, you better take care of her. Which, yeah, of course. But you're right. Made it seem like a very dramatic statement.
Exactly.
And then
she's not for play, was basically what she said.
Right. And then we finally are going to get Mitch and Kristen, and then hopefully Ben and
Morgan's
wedding. We didn't see any sign of it. They didn't preview that, but they did show Mitch at the altar.
So, yeah. Do you think we're going to get Ben and Morgan's wedding?
I hope so. Like, come on. It's happened. You don't have to have the correct timing with everything.
Right. Do you think we'll get like the rest of the couples on the honeymoon and intercut and that with wedding. Ben and Morgan's wedding. Like,
they probably will for dramatic effect. Okay. That was the episode.
Yeah, folks. Like we mentioned earlier, leave those reviews, leave those ratings. That's what helps us get onto the charts of iTunes. What helps our Podfather, our daddy network, know that you love the show. So hit us up with those ratings, reviews, and don't forget to subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed.
Yes, people. And Jason, what are you up to?
This is what I'm up to. This is my gig for right now. Nice. You can find me on Twitter at JAYR1085. That's where I'll be talking about maths, or I'll be talking about the unfortunate that is Big Brother this season so far, where I'll be talking about all of my passions and loves and interests. Hit me up there if you want to talk about maths, if you want to talk about reality TV, if you want to talk about anything, I'm there. The DMs are open. Hit me up. What about you, Asia?
Yeah, y'all can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. That's AYSHA Like ASIA. Podcasting, of course, here, and then also about Big Brother. I am on, you can catch me on the Thursday night eviction recap for Big Brother.
Good luck with that. I don't know what that's gonna look like.
By the time this is out, that podcast will be out, so hopefully it's a treat. Hopefully we find out some great information on the episode. I'm excited because I don't know what to expect. If we're just staring at a blank screen, then I'll be disappointed. So any type of content, I'm gonna be happy.
I'm ready for mess.
Right. Exactly. But thank y'all for sticking with us. Thank you for listening. And we will see y'all next week. Bye.